Brand new sound we bringing to you.
I think, Jason.
Yes, sir.
We gotta let this one go because I want you to hear how this guy flows. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm with it. I'm with it.
Let's get to it. Do you want a sponsor? Hey. Hey, Thomas.
You gotta listen to him.
Hey.
You gotta listen. I'm in it.
Do you want an Oscar?
Ooh.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Imposters.
Okay. Hey. Imposters. It'll go, hey, Mark.
I ain't go shop since I got paper. I spend knots, I'm a top player. I drip now, need the mop later.
Drip.
And I can't wear those cause I got flavor. I was down, but in God's favor. I rose up like a skyscraper. I got cribs and they got acres. So I make noise, I don't got neighbors. Nobody that hit me like, what you doing? Talking about money, I get it flowing. I get no paper, what is you on? Start changing and get it flowing. You broke, your day is wrong. Wherever I'm going, I get the crown. Hit up the baddies and get them flowing. Gotta have class, don't deal with truants and ask like she intruding and brain like she a student. Kick her like a punt. Said you
he said I got class. I ain't truant.
Just hear him out. I'm sure the part I really like.
Claiming something more, but that is unlikely. I ain't hating.
I want you to listen when the beat breaks down. Let's listen to where he goes.
Oh, man. I got
us. Listen to him.
Ooh. Tired of rapping, tired of spazzing. Can't wait to see God's reaction to these lines I'm stacking. I imagine that he watching, but he proud and laughing. Him and Michael Jackson. Yo, chill, you off beat. Go crazy. Oh, back to this.
Who is this?
Hey, don't worry about all that, man.
Who is this?
Don't worry about all that.
Where are you finding these individuals?
Hey, it's the uprise, man.
Man, that's a way to start. That is a way to start. First of all, I need to know where you found this individual, but you probably need to keep that under wraps.
Yeah.
So
found him in Jersey, New Jersey. New Jersey.
I like that. I like
that. Tribe Mark is his name.
I like that. He was fresh.
Yeah.
We're back.
Yeah.
The Jason and the OC podcast with a new look.
I mean, what is going on in here,
what's
man?
Happening here? Let's describe this.
Here's the thing. I was trying to get kicked off.
Yes.
And it seems like they're upgrading. They're giving us more. I wanted to get kicked off.
You're getting kicked on.
Kicked on. Is that the way the world works?
You know what? I think it's, you know how it's like.
When you don't care, they
when
just
you,
like,
don't
you don't
care,
hear.
They give it to you. It's like a really, really wealthy person winning the lottery, right. Thinking, wow, I'm really lucky. You know, this is great. You know, I guess that's what's up. I guess.
They got cameras everywhere.
Last time I had cameras like this, I was in court.
Yeah.
I was giving a deposition. The lawyer had his hand on my thigh, like, stop.
Okay.
Don't
okay.
talk. You're talking too loud. Not only do we hear you, but we see you.
Yeah.
And that is a true story, but it was not for a criminal offense.
What is Simon doing, man? What is Simon up to? Because I'm not sure I like what's going on. I wanted to get kicked off, and just more stuff going on, man. What is Simon doing?
I think he's in the meetings, and he's like, oh, the guys are just playing. No. When the camera's off, they tell me they're just playing.
They're
joking. He's in there sweating. If they gave that man a lie detector test, it would be over. Simon, why are you spiking like that? You know I get nervous in tight quarters.
Oh, man. This is crazy.
I mean, listen, let's keep it rolling for the people, you know? I mean, this is what they want. This is what they get. This is what we want. I need this more than anybody.
Yeah.
I do.
You do. I think you do. Because it's like the NFL is like almost like a drug for you. You're like, oh, see, when are we going to do the podcast? Oh, see, when are we going to do the podcast?
Why are you scratching yourself?
Yeah, when are we going to do the podcast? Oh, see,
oh, I got the itch.
Jason, I want to get kicked off. No, see, we gotta do the podcast, man. Can we do it tomorrow?
So, you know, if we don't do the podcast, I'm just going to call you
right.
And bother you throughout your day.
Yeah.
So
it's best
rather,
to get it out.
Wouldn't you rather do it here so I stop harassing your life?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
see?
Yeah. It makes sense.
I have a lot of things to ask you.
Yeah, it makes sense. What you got for me, man?
First of all, NFL, very slow.
Very slow.
It's that time of year.
Yeah.
You remember this as a player, I do too. Well, we were training.
Yeah, training, but this was a good time of the year for us players.
Great time.
Yeah. We would, like, you know, this is when I got to go to Atlanta. You know, I'd work out in the morning, and the rest of the day, I was a heathen.
You had hours of heathen.
Heathenism.
You know?
So it's a really slow time in the NFL right now. And
it is.
I got to tell you this.
Tell me. As I drip water on my face, sorry.
Before our boy, Roger Goodell,
yep,
got into the NFL,
became the Roger Goodell,
right? Mm-hmm. Before he became commissioner, mm-hmm. this was the time when there, a lot of players were getting in big trouble. Woo! Do you remember that? Do you remember that?
Yes.
It was like a couple of year period where
it was dark
before Roger came in. Like players were going absolutely nuts, doing the craziest things, and then he came in. And he kind of, like, put his foot down, started suspending people, like, left and right. I call him the sheriff to this day because he was, like, you know, he was, like, the, you know, the guy at the OK Corral. Like, what? 8 games. What'd you say?
Quick.
What'd you say? 10 games. He was suspending people left and right. And all that has calmed down.
I'm glad you brought that up because he gets a lot of heat, right, because he is the enforcer.
Yeah.
But he had to clean up some mess.
Yeah, it was rough.
If he didn't clean up the league – like he has done with mm-hmm. as far as player conduct is concerned, mm-hmm. with the age of social media and these stories spread so fast, oh, it would be a mess. It would be a mess.
But you know what?
Before they used to have to scan the police reports and all that kind of stuff.
You know what? Now that I think about it, Jason, I challenge that.
Okay, tell me.
I challenge that, Jason.
Okay.
And here's why I say that, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The world has gone crazy. the world has literally gone crazy.
Yeah.
So I argue that if players were getting arrested,
uh-huh.
the popularity of the league would be through the roof.
Oh my gosh!
I tell you,
pro wrestling
more probably than ever. If players were getting arrested left and right, the way the world is now, so maybe he's not doing such a good job. I don't know.
I remember a player that we both know well getting arrested and showing up with his mink coat on or whatever when they arrested him. I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah. You got on a mink coat? Why would
in
you
Texas.
Do that? Unbelievable.
Oh,
so,
man.
I don't know. Slow time, though. Slow time in the
slow
NFL.
Time.
You know, because Goodell's cleared everything up.
Yep.
And so not a lot going on. But there are a couple of things that are happening now.
Hit me with some storylines.
I keep hearing about this what do you want to go into first? You want to go into something player or league-wise?
Let's talk league-wise just because, I mean, that's what's happening.
There's discussions about an 18-game schedule. If you don't know this, it's 16 games and then playoffs and all. But
right.
There's discussions now about their moving to an 18-game schedule.
Or using that for contract negotiations.
Contract
with
negotiations.
With the pending agreement with the players.
CBA.
The CBA.
Now, the funny thing, here's the funny thing that I keep hearing.
Uh-huh. And that's in 2020, right?
Is it 2020?
Yeah, 2020. 2020 will
be. 2020 or 2022?
It's in 2020.
2022.
Yeah.
Okay, 2020.
2020.
So they say, okay, everything is a negotiation between the Players Association, the NFLPA, mm-hmm. and the NFL itself. Mm-hmm. So the NFL.
Labor and management,
yeah. So they're saying, okay, we want to move to an 18-game schedule,
yes.
right? And so in order for them to do that, they're going to have to give up something. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to give the players something mm-hmm. in order to move to an 18-game schedule because obviously it's more taxing on the players. And what I'm hearing they want to give up is, we're going to allow the players to use marijuana?
Yeah, like, that bargain like, chip.
How is this a bargaining chip? We're going to allow you to use marijuana, so therefore we're going to let – I don't – what's that about?
The league has been holding on to that like the golden goose.
Yeah.
Because they know mm-hmm. the players are going to give whatever concession.
Yeah.
That's like their – that's their nugget.
For marijuana?
Yeah.
They're going to give them that for marijuana.
But they don't care. The league doesn't want to govern that. Anyways, I mean, when you're talking about from state to state, it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the NFL is in multiple states.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the federal law implications of it, but this is something the NFL, I don't think, has a problem with it, especially when you are trying to keep guys from taking opioids
yes.
for pain management.
Yeah.
This is something that can help that.
Yes.
And even when you're talking about concussions,
yeah.
doesn't cause any issues as far as, you know, you take some of these opioids and you get a concussion, it actually does something different to the brain.
Yeah.
This is solving
So basically, they're going to allow you to do what's good for you as a bargaining chip.
Yes.
That's like, you know what? Don't take these Percocets and all that. Take something healthy, but
you don't have to get something up. Negotiate. Funny stuff comes out in negotiations. I mean, we negotiate in all walks of life every day, right? some of the funniest, most ridiculous things come out of negotiation. You're like, incredible. What am I arguing about? What am I asking for? But you got to take a stand, right? You got this one in 2020 is going to be serious, too.
Yeah.
You know, they put out a note the other day on, I think, Twitter and Instagram and all that, saying that the Players Association sent letters to all the agents saying, make sure your clients have enough money on hand in case we have to sit out the season.
Never going to happen. It's not going to happen.
You might. I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. But when we went through this before, yeah. We didn't have this level of communication. You knew what your team was talking about, but I didn't know what they were talking about in New York when I was in Houston.
I would be flabbergasted. Flabbergasted. If the players had the wherewithal, the cojones, to stand tough in the face of these negotiations. And I'll tell you why I say that. It's because you have to understand where these players are coming from, right? I would say that a majority, majority I mean over 50%, okay. come from impoverished backgrounds. Okay. Backgrounds that where they're not, their parents aren't making a bunch of money, right?
Well, not that kind of money.
Right.
Hardly anybody's parents is making that
just,
kind of
just
money.
In general. Like money, yeah. most of the people who I knew who played ball at the highest level, you know, they didn't come from wealthy backgrounds.
True.
So you have these guys now who struggled most of their life making ends meet. I was one of them. Mm-hmm. Finally in a position where they're able to take care of themselves, take care of their families, mm-hmm. they're making money. Might not be as much money as they're supposed to be making.
Right.
But it's still a substantial amount of money. Now, you Without ask them to stand firm in that adversity and give that up. They've just now got there. Give that up to fight for the benefit of everybody. It's just a very difficult thing for people to do long term. They can stand firm for a month. They'd be like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
But then
I'm sitting out the offseason.
Yeah, but then once it's really start time,
you start missing checks.
Yes, and this is the NFL's leverage. This is the NFL's power that they don't have. Like the NBA players, the soccer players, it's completely different. Because in the NBA, they can go to China. They can go to all these different countries. They might not be making $25 million.
They can earn.
They can earn millions. In, you know, soccer, if they're not playing in the Premier League, they can go to La Liga. They can go to Serie A. They can go to all these different places and earn a lot of money. So the players are in control. Right. Whereas here, there's just one game in town.
That's it.
If you're not playing for the NFL, you're not playing nowhere.
True monopoly.
And that's where they have the players at the disadvantage, and that's why it's very difficult for them to overcome that. And until there's other successful leagues springing up, it's always going to be like this.
And you're right, right? The time frame you have to make and earn in football is already so short, right? What's the league? The average is about 2.5 years.
Yeah,
if you miss a year.
Think about that.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, you are right. I mean, that's why they're never going to just blow it out of the water as far as negotiations are concerned. But, you know, you have to think about future generations and who does that. You know something you said funny? Something you said, and it's true, you said about, you know, 50% of the league is from some kind of demographic. And I always think about how they categorize players, right? And I thought about this, right? If you are, say you have resources and you make it to the league.
Mm-hmm.
I know quarterbacks like this,
yeah.
Okay? And guess what the knock on them is?
What's that?
Oh, they don't need it.
They don't need it.
Do they have the passion? Because how crazy is the way you label people?
Yep.
Because it means nothing. It means nothing that they come from a situation where they're financially secure if they're in the league and they have a passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who they are. They got a passion for it. But it's commentators. It could be coaches. It could be organizations that literally say, we question this person because they have resources.
Yeah. But then again, the ones who have come in with resources, what I have noticed is those are the ones that are making power plays.
Yes. Agreed.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are the Eli Manning.
Oh my goodness.
Got drafted and said, I'm not going there.
Not today, coach.
Like, you were number one overall, and you told the San Diego Chargers at the time, I am not playing in San Diego, and they traded him to the New York Giants because that's where he wanted
Remember
to go.
Remember he had that hat on? He looked so mad.
Yeah. Now, if your brother is Peyton Manning and has all that money and your father is Archie Manning and you come from money, you can do that.
You can do that.
But if you're not, and the whole family is right on your back, yep, what do? You go to San Diego.
John Elway did the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Look where he comes from.
Same. You're right. So I almost think organizations are more fearful of that than anything.
100%. They don't want that guy.
Man, we need to get your
they don't
son.
Want that
I can't
guy.
Wait till your son goes to
oh,
the league.
Oh man. He's gonna be like, what?
I can't. They're gonna
I'm
be like
playing here.
They're gonna be like, have you ever negotiated with his daddy? Oh no. You sure you wanna draft
you
him?
You wanna draft this guy?
Sure? Oh no.
That's gonna be the knock on him. Oh. This guy is gonna be he has 36 sacks, but they're like, I don't know if we can draft this guy.
I don't
guy,
know
man.
About this. I don't know if you want this.
He's not passionate about the game.
Have you heard OC lately? It's gotten worse.
Unbelievable,
man. Oh,
man. Your boy Richie Incognito got a job.
Oh, man, he got a job. He was out of the league last year. Richie Incognito's a guard. Mm-hmm. Was one of the best interior offensive guards for a long time.
He was a bully, but go ahead.
Yeah, he mm-hmm. got in trouble in Miami for supposedly bullying and racial slurs.
Should have got in trouble for punching me in my stomach, but that's another story.
Punched OC in the stomach.
Yeah, punching me in my stomach.
I've golfed with him before.
Have you?
Interesting, yeah. Mm-hmm. But gets a job with the Oakland, not the Oakland, but, you know, the, what are they? Are they,
they're
going to be,
Oakland,
they're still Oakland, but they're
going to
be the Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
So the Raiders. What are they trying to do over there in Raiderland?
Yeah, I think, okay.
They draft guys talking about we are changing the culture.
Yeah.
These are great players, but great culture guys, right?
Yeah.
That was the whole narrative on the draft, which I believe in.
Okay.
Then you bring
Vontaze Burfict.
I like Vontaze, though.
Yeah, that's your boy.
Yeah,
but
I like
he's him and Incognito are the
he's
same. I would say they have the same on-field tendencies.
So what is that saying about your roster? Because you tell the truth about your roster by the people you pick up. Are they looking and going, man, we're kind of soft?
I think maybe that. But then if you look at the legacy of the Raiders, right? If you look at their legacy, what type of team they are, what type of people
punch
they
people
are
in the mouth.
That's what they do.
They are a punch
their
people
fans,
in the mouth team. Yeah.
Everything about them, their owner was that kind. Now, the son is now, I think, trying to
emulate what his dad
emulate. Because these moves are some. This is what his dad would have done. These are the type of players his dad. He would have a whole roster full of people like this.
That will run past you or beat you up.
Exactly. It's either they were either going to win the game or they're going to win the fight. Something.
You were getting bloody.
Something's going to happen here. And I think now, you know, the Raiders are trying to, just based upon the signings that they've made.
I agree.
They're trying to do something in that vein.
I agree. You know what? You're right, because guess what? We're talking about him.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to watch to see if it works out.
Yeah.
You know, the only team that I had more of a narrative as far as I was truly following was Cleveland, but now it's the Raiders.
It's the
Cleveland
Raiders.
And Raiders are like, I'm locked in.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going to happen?
Cleveland, they've done a lot.
I know.
They've done a lot.
So
I haven't really seen this work before.
So, to your point, and we just kind of talked about this with the Raiders, I think this says a lot about Baker Mayfield. Now, I don't know. I have no insider information. But people just don't make decisions.
Yeah.
Just because.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing in all these personalities, great players' personalities, because they think he can, A, handle it, or B, has a bigger personality than all of them.
Yeah. He's got swag now. He does.
I think this says a lot about him, that they can bring him in. Same way with Eli in New York. Man, Eli fits New York.
Yeah.
It's hard to play there as a quarterback.
Yeah.
I know why they brought in Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say his name right?
I think it is
The fact that I forgot.
Daniel Jacobs or Daniel Jones?
See how we're messing us up?
Because I don't even know.
It's Jones.
It's Jones.
But the fact that we don't even know that is because how, you know, this is what's quiet. Happening.
Have you seen them speaking? Have you seen that thing where they put both of them together?
The same dude.
It's the funniest thing, man.
It's the same dude.
This guy is Eli. They just went and drafted a younger version of him.
It makes sense. Because, hey, no matter how you play, you're going to know how to handle New York. And it's hard, as you know, it's hard to handle New York. You have to be a very confident person to not get beat up by New York. Yeah. Anyway, so two teams we're going to watch, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Two teams we're going to watch. I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
I want to know your advice on this.
Okay.
Because did you just – oh, see, that is amazing. Can I just say what you just
– What I just had or what
I just
said?
Yeah, what you just had.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. That was amazing.
Do you like that?
Yes.
Okay,
good. I am so proud to be your friend. Thank you. Certain things cannot go on the podcast because we will get kicked off.
Yeah, definitely.
So I need a little help.
Okay.
I'm a best man.
A best man?
Yeah, for my brother, his wedding. And I'm doing a speech and all that. And I thought I need some OC wisdom.
Yeah.
On best man
speeches.
Protocol.
Best man protocol.
Okay. Do you have any advice for me?
Yes.
This is serious. I need to know this.
Yeah. This is what you got to do.
Yeah.
And this is always my go-to. Whenever I need to convey a message or whenever I need to get something, I just do this.
Hand movement.
I just do this.
A lot of hand movement.
Yeah,
above
like
the shoulders.
Yeah. And so he is, all just hands. It's hands. They can't really focus on what you're saying because it just seems like magic. You're like.
So you could be halfway intoxicated.
Exactly. Just
magic.
Just like this. And it works every time. No, I've never really given.
Magic.
I gave one best man speech.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It was my boy, one of my best friends. His name is Jordan. And Jordan Brumbo is my guy. Went to high school with him. He was like my guy all the way through. When I got to the end, he was like college. When I got to the NFL, he was living with me, everything. So, you know, me and Jordan were heathens. And. Mm-hmm. So at the best man speech that I had to give, I had started discussing some.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And I could see his face. I could see his face like he was smiling and then he was like, oh, no. And then I kind of realized what was going on. I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to be talking about
this. So then you start
this.
Going to your magic.
I started with magic. That's when I knew the hands worked. So whatever you do, don't discuss anything in the past.
Okay.
You understand?
You're right. Yep.
And
past.
You got to paint.
No past.
No past. And you got to paint your brother in the best possible light.
Yeah. Which is easy.
It's an easy thing to do. So just do that.
But no real story.
No. Yeah. You want to stay as far away
from
those
as possible.
You can see her family.
I'm going to just look at her dad the whole time. And as long as he's smiling, we're rolling.
Jason, but women don't forget. They don't forget.
She'd be like, Jay Bell ain't coming around no more.
They do not forget. I'm telling you.
Oh my God.
Don't make that mistake.
Oh.
They don't forget.
No, don't do it. I won't do it.
We'll forget stuff. They do not forget. Don't do it. Speaking of.
Yes. I'm here.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
There's something that I saw yesterday.
Let me get my water out because you know how when you answer something you don't have to answer. If you take a drink and you're thinking, people don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a difficult subject.
Oh, I got a lot of water to drink.
Yeah,
got a lot.
There's a new expose.
Okay.
About Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay, really?
I don't know if you saw this.
I haven't seen it. I don't even know where it is.
Yeah. It was a guy who won a Pulitzer Prize for his coverage of Martin Luther King Jr. back in the day.
Okay.
He's been pro Martin Luther King. But the files, you know the FBI?
Yes.
Were.
Yep.
So they have some files on him.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they say Martin Luther King Jr. had 40-something extramarital affairs.
Yeah, I heard that.
Right?
Mm-hmm. They were trying to paint that picture.
Yeah, all that. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, they have him on tape talking about, I think one of his friends was like doing, like, I think it was like raping a woman, and he was laughing about the situation. You know, just talking about, and this is all supposed to come out in like 2029 when the FBI unseals the files. Right. So we're all going to seal this. But this guy, apparently, Pulitzer Prize winning guy, so he's not just a kook,
right?
Has the excerpts from this stuff, and he's saying these things are going. So my question to you is this.
Yeah.
We know what this man meant to people of color, people in the world in general, right? Do you separate the man from his actions? And if you do, you got to think about all the things that are coming out now with the Me Too movement, with Michael Jackson, or all these different people. Mm-hmm. If you separate the man from what they do, do you think that that should be done? Or do you now have to lump Martin Luther King Jr. in with the rest of these people?
I question anything the FBI had done with under J. Edgar Hoover in that period.
Let's just say for the sake of argument that it's true.
Okay. So you're saying, so it's without a reasonable doubt, for argument's sake.
Yes, just for argument's sake.
This is true.
Yes.
So the first thing I would do, because of my bias, I would say, I would look at myself and I would look at my flaws. Yes. And I would, my determining factor of my opinion, factors of my opinion would be based on, I am a flawed individual.
Yeah, but we all are.
That's how I would approach it.
So
I would look at my flaws and look, do my flaws and the things that I've done, do those now erase any positive impact I've had on, I don't know, society as a whole?
You see, that is a perfect answer. And I agree with you. But what about Michael Jackson? Now, this man had a massive impact on me.
Right.
You understand? Mm-hmm. And now you see the things that he's been accused of, and now they're talking about boycotting Michael Jackson.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. You can't, you know, listen to his music. R. Kelly, I wouldn't say R. Kelly had a big influence on me, not really, but he had a massive influence on a lot of people.
Yeah.
So if you now don't separate the man from his work, that everybody's like joining them, everything together. So they're tearing everybody down because of, you know, some of the things that they've done. And we are all flawed individuals. I've done some, you know, some not so good things. Mm-hmm. I know this for a fact. But do we now lump Martin Luther King in with all the other heroes or icons that we're tearing down?
If we go and look throughout history and look at people who have had, who have seriously shifted mankind as we know, my goodness, they've done some bad things.
Bad things.
Everybody. I mean, so if you start down that process and start saying, I'm just going to rip everybody up that's ever done anything, well, we're all the same again. Yeah. So we basically go full circle.
Yeah.
Because you're tearing everybody down, so everybody is now tore down. You know, who's perfect? Nobody.
Yeah.
You know, who has done some things they don't want people to know? Everybody.
Yeah.
That's why nobody knows.
Yeah.
So I think that I do think this. I think you should question everything. I think you should go in and say, this is how I think, this is my opinion, challenge it, and see where it goes. I think these conversations should be had. I just think that so many people have so many people don't want to go down the path of actual knowledge and obtaining it because it takes work.
Yeah.
That it's just easier to just take what somebody says, form an opinion, and keep it moving because it takes no brain power.
But is it okay to bring these people down off the pedestal that we've put them on? Is that's my underlying question. Is it okay to do that?
You know when it's okay?
Yes.
When you don't care.
Yeah.
Case in point, in the U.S., when they, in some of the southern states, when they take down these statues of Confederates,
yes.
I didn't shed a tear.
Yeah.
But that's hypocritical.
It is.
But I know that.
Yeah.
But I'm honest with myself. So I understand why those on the other side can do the same thing I can do.
Yeah.
Is it right? No. Is it my opinion? Yes.
Fair enough. What's next?
Was that okay?
That was perfect.
I didn't fail you?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Simon's over here standing up. Uh-oh. Is it time to get to these right now?
It's time to get to the questions.
It's time to get the questions.
I can't get to the questions.
I had another question for Olsi, but we ain't got no time for it. I do want to say this though.
Okay.
You know when you know you're getting old when you start to see the teenagers.
Yeah.
Wear the stuff you wore when you were a teenager.
Oh my goodness, what you got going on, man?
Like I'm seeing the styles, like the baggy
back.
Styles. I'm
yeah.
like, that was me. Yeah. When I was, you know, 16, 17.
Yeah. But it's all cyclical, though.
I know, but it's back. I've never been in a period where my style
where it came back.
Repeated. I've always, Dave is like, oh, yo, that was the 70s.
You're
I was like, yeah,
you're
it's
so
repeating
old,
on me, bro. The early 90s
it's
style.
Coming back. Boy, I'm like, what, 2 years younger than you, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
So why is it? Why don't I feel that way?
Did you wear the baggy clothes? You look at the young hipster, young.
Oh, you know I wore the baggy clothes.
Okay, but the girls are wearing those baggy kind of clothes that when I was that age, they would wear that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The old hip-hop video type stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's back.
Yeah, I was in Nigeria at the time. Fashion wasn't really, you know, fashion wasn't really our thing, man. We had a lot of other problems, bro.
J-Bell, we weren't worried about no fashion.
We weren't worried about no baggy clothes.
All right. I just checked myself.
Did you have lunch? That's what we was concerned. And I'm kidding, man. We were all right. Go ahead, what you got for me,
did
man?
Did you have lunch? Oh God!
Got here talking about
this.
Some baggy clothes. Oh. Did you eat
you see,
today?
Oh, first world problem. I'm about to sweat out this shirt. This shirt ain't for this. Oh my God!
Oh,
I was going to ask. See what Daniel was saying. What is this, Daniel?
I'm quite sure he had lunch. I'm sure he ate today. Go ahead.
I can tell you right now what this podcast is called. I can tell you right now. Did you have lunch?
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Oh, God. What's this guy's name?
What you got for me, man?
What's his name?
Daniel Pape.
I can't sound out words.
Pape.
Daniel, you're first up to bat. We are both sweating over here, and the camera's on us. Is this light
it's
different?
Hot. It's just hot in here.
I know. Okay. I'm going to put a crisp 10 pounds in my account and place an each way on Cleveland to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Is this wise? I'm slowing down because let me finish the question.
Yeah.
Do you have a better suggestion? Thanks. Your pal, Dan. Dan, you are a pal. I am highly – what in the world is an each way?
I don't know. I'm not a gambler.
What? I can't answer the question because I don't know what an each way means.
I'm quite sure Simon knows.
Simon.
I'm pretty sure
Simon,
he knows.
Simon, what is an each way?
Oh.
As well.
That's not a bad bet then.
Wait. You. As long as you make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a bad bet. You know, $10.
I like that bet.
Yeah. I won't say it's a
pounds?
Bad bet.
Do that.
Definitely put it on.
You know why I'm not going to give you a better suggestion? Because if I'm wrong, I don't want you to hold me to it. But that'll be interesting.
Yeah. That's something I would do. I would do that.
They're going to be fun to watch anyway, so
yeah.
You might as well have a wager on
yeah,
them.
Yeah, just put that $10 down.
Dan,
yeah,
do that. I like that. And if I see you on the street, I give you a 10-pound drink.
Jason,
just remember to say each
do
way.
Do you even drink anything for 10 pounds? All those fancy wines you drink?
Nah.
Nothing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially when you're paying. I get
yeah.
all the good wine.
You do.
Yeah,
you
I do.
Definitely
I'm
do.
Sorry.
The vintage.
I'm sorry.
Cabernet. Sauvignon. Like, what is this?
Oh, Daniel Hess. Can you see a 5'9 tight end making it? Or are they going to have to grow like... Are they going to have to grow like Trump's economy?
It has grown.
They're going to have to grow, my friend. That is a good one. Man, these are getting – man, five, I'm so proud of y'all. That was funny.
A 5'9 tight end?
Not going to work.
No.
And the reason it's not going to work is, remember, tight ends have to block guys like Osi on the edge.
Yeah.
That's going to be very tough. You'd have to be 5'9 and 300, and then you couldn't go out for a pass.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what I would do.
What do you do?
I got to be honest with you.
Tell me.
And these are just my thoughts after looking at, like, Dwight Freeney and Mathis and
people. Oh, I thought you were talking about Trump's economy.
No. I have no problems with Donald Trump's economy.
Not when you got your you saw your statement.
Oh, no. I'm like, go, Donald. Make America great again.
Make my account great again.
But anyway.
Oh, gosh.
Donald. Anyway.
Did you eat lunch? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, yeah, but I would have really tall, big interior linemen.
Yes.
And my defensive ends would be short and fast and just dipping around that edge.
So I guess that's the same thing of running a 3-4 defense and having your stand-up backers on the line of scrimmage, but they'd be smaller and fast.
Yeah, like Harrison is like, what, 6 feet?
Yeah.
He's like some really good.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I think you can be a very good, smaller, shorter defensive end dipping that corner. Because I knew, like, for me, like when I was coming off that edge, like I would have to get low to really bend that edge. And if you're already short, like Freeney and all them, I think it serves an advantage. Like traditionally, you know, you'd have these long guys and all that's cool, but I would put those guys, make them bigger inside now for all the short, quick passing game, you know, so they can clog up the middle and do all this and have really small, fast defensive ends screaming off that edge.
That makes a lot of sense, too, because the offensive tackles don't face that.
No.
So that week just changes everything up for them. And that is – people don't understand that's significant. That really changes things. I like that, man. You might – you know what? If we see a team do that
– they got it from that guy. It wouldn't be the first time.
They on the podcast. Adam Thompson. Oh, that's a Giants question. Do you think the Giants O-line will give Eli more of a chance to look like the old Eli, or is it another horror season for the Giants? Hashtag ask your boy and ask OC.
I like what the Giants have done.
Yep.
I think they're going to be better than they were last year. I don't think this is a Super Bowl team, but, you know, you never really know. And I think offensive line-wise, they've done some good things.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive line-wise, they're building. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I like their receiving core. I like their receiving core, man. I really do, even without Odell.
They're giving them some weapons.
They got Shep. They got Ingram. They got Golden Tate, who I think is one of the most underrated receivers in football. This guy's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
So I think they got the guy, Saquon Barkley.
That's their engine.
They're good to go.
I think
they should be okay if Eli's able to perform to the level he was performing at maybe 2 to 3 years ago. And I think he can. And I think he will.
I think you're on to something with Golden Tate. I think the one thing you give Eli is somebody who can see the game, run those option routes, really work it in the slot, veteran kind of guy. Boom. There you go. O-line is improved.
Mm-hmm.
I like what they've done with that secondary. They've gotten better as a whole.
Yeah.
I think – listen, don't turn your back on Dave Gettleman.
Yeah.
He you know, I'm still riding with him.
Yeah.
I like what he's doing. A couple of people have asked this, OC.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors or Raptors for the NBA Finals?
I have to be honest with you. I do not follow the NBA at all.
You don't even – not even the championship, huh?
I just haven't – ever since, like, Kobe left.
Yep.
You know, I'm a big fan of LeBron, you know, but ever since Kobe left, I'm just like, eh. So I don't really follow – I don't follow the NBA, man.
So – full disclosure, I follow because I work with some guys on the Warriors.
Yeah, of course you do.
Or I would be saying the same thing. Yeah. So I'm going with the Warriors again, and I do follow this whole thing with Drake, the rapper, because he's
an ambassador.
He's a Raptors fan across Toronto, and he's making it fun.
Yeah,
I got to give the NBA credit for that. They've been pushing that, and I think he's high-fiving the head coach and all that kind of stuff.
The NBA knows what's up.
So, yeah, I like that. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know what to tell you. Pablo. El Loco.
Oh, I don't like this question.
I can't even say this. You say that.
Let me see. Beelzebub.
Man, you really got command of languages.
I've grown up in three different continents with all these different names.
Your
so it's,
command
you know.
Of language.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
I like that.
Too many different places.
I liked
man.
It. Ask OC, ask J Bell about damn time.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't been giving the people what they want. He's saying, about time, we're back on the mic, giving them what they want.
You know what, El Loco, I feel you, man. Like, I definitely said we have to give the people what they want, and we haven't been doing that. So you deserve to say that. You got us.
All right, quick, we're out of here. This is from Mackenzie. J. Bell.
Mackenzie Bezos? Because... Please,
she's donating half.
Yeah, read her question, please.
Mackenzie, okay. My number is... okay, we'll take that back.
Right.
oh, gosh. All right. Mackenzie says, J. Bell giving us abuse with a two-fingered salute on the Twitter video.
Mm.
By the way, that comes from the old days when the French army would catch an English archer, OC knows this story too, and cut off their... two fingers.
Oh, okay.
You know, the English archers would mock the French by doing the two-finger salute to show that they still had their
two fingers.
OC told me that, and I forgot the reason why it wasn't cool. Yeah. Thanks for the reminder, Mackenzie.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard that story before. I thought it was just like the middle finger, but apparently it's the two fingers.
Yeah, so you give them the, yeah.
Because I thought that the English used to shoot the longbow with their middle finger, so that's why the French would cut off the middle finger, but it's the two. So it's two fingers. Okay, so it's two.
It's two.
Yeah.
We got our education
right.
Yeah,
we got our education. All right.
It's an educational podcast.
Educational podcast.
Give us
man.
Some music on the outro. We got to give the people what they want, my brother.
Sound
you already know what it is.
Tell your friends.
Okay.
Your co-workers.
It's only right. All right, let's get to it. Do you want to sponsor? Hey, Thomas. Hey, do you want to Oscar? Hey, imposters. Hey, look, I ain't go shop since I got paper. I spend knots, I'm a top player. I drip now, I need the mop later. And I can't wear those since I got flavor. I was down, but in God's favor, I rose up like a skyscraper. I got cribs and they got acres, so I make noise, I don't got neighbors. Nobody that hit me like, what you doing? Talking about money, I get it flowing. I get no paper, what is you on? Start changing and get it flowing. You broke, your day is wrong. Wherever I'm going, I get the crown. Hit up the baddies and get them flowing. Gotta have class, don't deal with truants and ass like she intruding and brain like she a student. Kick it like a punt. Said you on your own, but you putting up a front. Know you want it bad, cause you really want to stunt. You ain't even mine, you ain't getting what you want. Gotta spend that on a wifey. Act like you like me. Claiming something more, but that is unlikely. Nah, I ain't hating, but his raps don't excite me. Know how much you making by his snaps on the IG. Oh man, I got it. Tired of rapping, tired of spazzing, can't wait to see God's reaction to these lines I'm stacking. I imagine that he watching, but he proud and laughing, him and Michael Jack. Yo, chill, you off beat, go crazy. Oh, back to this, keep it all 100, I don't act a bit. You know they really love it when they rapping it. Whenever you don't see me, know I'm stacking chips. I get a lot of paper, I don't brag a bit. I don't got to, but I got to. Condos in Miami with the sky views. Bentley's in the lot playing iTunes. Only visit there once a year, know how I do. All about the Benjamins, really got me swimming in all types of women. You be thinking they be innocent. Mommy, Dominicans, foreigners, immigrants. It don't even matter, I be fucking off adrenaline.